Welcome to Voices from the Dark, episode number 27, The Spectrum number 3. Waiting on my guest, Neo. Voices from the Dark, episode 27. I am at Horse Bar and drinking a beer. Got the setup from Dennis, who was so kind to invite us here to basically come, hopefully, regularly. Maybe do a Monday thing since it's a quiet night. And we got the back room to ourselves more or less since it's early. It's like 7:30 on the 12th of November. So yeah, I am gonna sit back and wait for Neo to come. And basically, test out the sound back here when the music is off. Although it is amazing music here at Horse Bar, so you should definitely come check it out. All right, see you later. So, hello, Neo.
Yeah, I'm here.
We are here. We're both here.
Mm-hmm.
In Horse Bar. This is great. So, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, I feel like I'm whispering.
Nobody's here, yeah, so definitely I'll hear you.
I just feel like anytime I talk into a microphone, I feel like I'm whispering or putting on a voice or
something.
No, I get
it. It's like weird because like you don't have an idea of your perception. Like your perception's all
especially if I'm wearing the headphones. So now I took them off and I think it should be fine. So yeah, I already did an intro.
Yeah.
Like a 15-second intro, episode 27. The Spectrum number 3. We've made it to the, the first lucky number. I guess the number 1 is the first.
Well,
number.
Three is my lucky number.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Oh, well, there you go.
I'm born on the 3rd as well.
So. Oh, okay. 3rd of March. No. 1933. No. All right. So, if you've been following the Spectrum, you know that this is, that we discussed coming back to what we discussed in the second episode, which is like the left-right spectrum. But I think that we are going to dive in a little bit more to the, you know, the actual left and then the right and then some other related things that also...
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, there's a lot going
on.
These
days.
Oh, yeah, well, we'll talk about that in a second. We always have to throw some current events in, I mean, political stuff, I guess. But I was just telling Kai, the bartender here at Horse, that it's hard to, you know, talk about politics, even when it's just you're just talking about like definitions and terminology, it's hard not to kind of think about your opinion and want to voice your opinion and even get like emotional. I know, you know, I'm like I hold back a lot.
It's hard to be completely objective, I think, talking about politics. Of course, it's like if you think about chemistry or something like that, you know, like as a subject, somebody might just tell you, okay, this is the equation and this is what it is. And let's say if you're a chemist, you might have a strong opinion about a particular topic, but somehow with politics, because it impacts our lives, I mean, everything else does as well, but I mean, I think it's something that it's really hard to escape from. So it's difficult to then pull back from it.
I definitely agree with that. And I like that you say it like that in comparison to chemistry, because politics, or what we're really talking about here, political science, I guess, it's a science.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, can be done in that measured way that I guess all sciences are conducted. And that's, I guess, why we're going to kind of try to dissect a little bit this left, starting with the left, since, well, I don't know why we're starting with the left. I wonder why we're starting with the left.
Well, it's also left-right spectrum. I think we
that's right.
Say
that's
that,
why
so
we're,
if,
yes.
If
that's
it was,
a good excuse.
If you said right-left, it would maybe let me do that.
Okay. I like that excuse.
Just go with it.
Yeah. So we're recording, right? Okay. I always got to double check. It's never a given. All right. So the left. I mean, I think we can probably start out with, like, what are the stereotypes, you know? I guess to me...
I mean, today? I guess that's the...
Oh, well, I mean, actually, I don't think that the stereotypes of the left have changed that much in, like, my adult life, which is 150 years now. No,
I mean, in our adult life...
30 years, I guess.
Yes, but I think 25. What's interesting... when I think about, let's say, again, we're in Germany and thinking about the Green Party sort of arising from like the anti-war protests of the 60s and student movement protests. I mean, it's a political party today. And so if you look at those people that were involved in these protests, I mean, even the left, let's say the Green Party, for instance.
Now, is the Green Party here the same sort of thing as the Green Party in the States? That would
be interesting. No, I mean, I'm using the Green Party as an example and not Die Linke. I mean, because if we're talking about what maybe in the United States people look at as left, because we just have two parties. But I mean, the idea, let's just look at like Occupy Wall Street, for example, or something like that. Okay. So in terms of protest, like student, like not just student protests, but protests, I mean, you could look at the Green Party today and see that it's in Germany. It doesn't really look, or the people that are who are voting for the Green Party are not necessarily what they were when they were young, because I'd say that the demographics are quite affluent, upper middle class, educated
today
here in Germany. I'm giving again, it's difficult to talk about these things like just left without talking about a context, because I think that the context matters in everything that we're talking about in terms of politics. But in the United States, it's a different story. I think that the left is a much larger group of people.
Well, yeah, if it's the Democratic Party, then... Yeah,
right.
It's
I feel like that's how the rhetoric is. It's there's right and left.
But let's just make a clear distinction that the Green Party in Europe or here in Germany is not the same as the Green Party in... the States.
Well, I don't even know anything about the Green Party in the United States. And here it's an actual party. So if anything, I'd say it's much more legitimate here.
Okay.
I mean...
Well, because the way I think of the Green Party in the States is like environmental. Is that totally wrong?
Well, I mean, I think you have foundations of... I mean, I think that it's founded on environmentalism and issues of social justice. And again, going back to the 60s, like the anti-war movement... But it's called the Green Party. I mean, now what it is, I think that any party can't just function on one issue or one platform. So I think the Green Party has changed over the years, probably in the United States and here in Germany as well. So, I mean, I think that's an important part. Maybe that's also a downside of... such a term, or like, because people just have the idea green and they just think automatically or just stay in the same framework of like environmentalism.
You mean like they get stuck into like the main party issues or whatever?
Well, I think that people are thrown off by labels. I mean, people are either thrown off by labels or they're then... like they're prompted by labels.
Mm.
So like you either go into, like you go towards something or you go away from it.
Mm.
So I think it's different. It's different with like a, I don't know, with a name that doesn't necessarily give so much away.
Mm.
I mean, anyway, we're going off on a tangent.
No, that's fine. I think it's still, we're trying to get closer and closer to what the left is.
Is the center? Isn't that really...
Yeah, that's actually something we should probably talk about on another episode, because there is like the left can move to the center. It can also move more to the left. It can move, you know, but it'll never actually technically be moving to the right unless maybe
I think the terms left and right are all are relative to the center. So
the center can move.
The center moves all the time because the center is just basically where the majority of people are in a way. Like, so if I look at like Bill Clinton and the Democratic Party of the 1990s, which seemed like it was perhaps to the left. Today, it's far... I mean, I would say that it's... if we're in our own minds today, it's not... It's much more... They were much more right than we imagined.
Back then.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, when we were kids, like, when we were...
In the 90s.
In the 90s,
Bill Clinton era.
The Democratic Party did not seem as right as it actually was, and as like today we see it as far more right.
Yes.
Than the left party at the time.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. And then if you compare it to today's terms,
for sure, it's still
right. So I think that's important when you're talking about the spectrum.
Yeah, for sure. I think that is more related to that shifting of the center, which we can talk more about that.
Well, we've gotten more conservative. I mean, I'd say that the
center has gotten more conservative.
Yes, we've moved to this.
Well, see, now that's another.
I think
term.
It's center right. I think we're in this. In my opinion, the Democratic Party is a center right party. This is me.
Okay,
I'm saying that they're a central right party. Of course, it doesn't label itself that way, and I don't think Democrats in the United States label the party as a central right party.
Yeah.
But then, if I compare it, like if I do a comparison around the world, I would say it's a central right party.
Okay. We
don't really have a left party.
Okay, that's perfect. that is perfect because we are trying to. We're going step by step here, and I think that the shifting center thingy is definitely an interesting topic. But I think what's more clear is what you just said, that in the States the left is actually not left,
right.
And it kind of never really was. Maybe like way before our time, maybe in like Roosevelt or FDR, the New Deal and all that.
He was left, right? Again, it's all relative. That's the issue about politics and these sort of attitudes. Like, there isn't a. It's about attitudes. So, if it's about an attitude, it's about your perception or your preference. And there are no two rights. Meaning, there's no. We don't have to have the same reference point. And that's the tricky part about. This label.
Yeah, this left to right thing. Yeah. All right. So.
But somehow we have to, because we have to talk about it. Like, you know, as a nation, or we have to talk about it. So, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, totally. So in the States, we have a left and a right. And we'll get to like some of the, you know, what we, you and I think are the beliefs of the left and the right and so on. But I guess maybe you can answer this question. That just came to my mind. So in some way, throughout for sure our lifetimes, the left in the United States was never really the left in the world.
I would say that at some moment in time, I mean, I even think about like the progressivism and like, as you mentioned about Roosevelt. Mm. I mean, I think... that there was a time when the United States was progressing in its policies and pushing progressive policies. But I think that perhaps we were doing it. Maybe we, I don't know if we continue to do it at the same pace or we didn't. I mean, I'm going to go with the latter. And at the same time, other countries were also had a lot more reform. So I think it's important to think about the context of post-World War II, because it's, I mean, even if you look at a lot of countries like made new constitutions, like there's a lot of progress, a lot of things were happening in politics post-World War II. So, I mean, there was a need for reform, obviously. And I think that the populace of these countries, let's say in Europe, really wanted reform. So, whereas I think the United States I think that we've held on to our laurels of World War II for a really long time.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
You know, we still talk about World War II. Like,
we saved Europe.
Yeah, it's still like a part of our identity. But Europe has also moved on.
We're like milking it.
You know, we're really milking it. And they're like, yeah. You know, like,
it's like, oh, yeah, they're talking about World War II again.
Let's right,
just
right.
Shut up, please.
And yeah. I don't think that I don't think America or Americans realize that the rest of the world has moved on.
Yeah.
Or as quickly or as much as it has. And I think it's, I mean, that's kind of what I think about when I look at what's happening today in terms of politics, because I don't think the issues that are happening in the United States are just happening in the U.S. They're all over the world. Mm. But what I find interesting is that in the U.S. context, it's just insular. It's not comparing Brexit, not comparing, you know, developments and changes in different countries.
Okay. Well, I guess that's sort of like what we did or tried to do. Well, I think we were pretty successful in the first episode there, talking about socialism in America, you know, talking about what does that word mean in America? Because it doesn't mean the same thing in America that it does outside of America. So,
but I mean, basically in the same way. The point is, it's not just it's not just about socialism or... I don't think that we compare ourselves to other places. And so the discourse is only within with ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, oh, let me see what's going on over there. Maybe I can get a little bit of information here, dabble there. Maybe I don't like that. Take a little bit of this. It's just, we just have a discourse amongst ourselves. Mm. But
yeah. And that is the point, because we're trying to define these in terms of American politics. Yeah. So,
but but it's important. I mean, I get that we're trying to define them in terms of American politics, but we're also talking about issues that are happening in the United States. And I think a part of that is that we don't actually look outside I'm not saying for guidance, but we're
for
political systems are political systems, whether it's just, whether we're American or not, they're all systems. So it's a plural word. So we don't look towards other systems to compare ourselves. And so maybe if we did that, maybe we would have a better idea of where we actually stand, like where our Democratic Party, for instance, might stands, or where our Republican Party stands.
Yeah, so basically, it could help us to understand other ideas of the left in the States.
Because I think it's important.
The left in the States.
Right, because if you're talking about just using these terms left, right, well, what does the left stand for? So if let's just say Bernie Sanders is talking about wanting to have universal health care, Medicare for all, gain information or knowledge by looking elsewhere, because it's something that exists somewhere else. So if we look, we can't just look within our borders.
Right.
You know, so like it isn't, even if we're just talking about the U.S. and its interests, it's still important to look elsewhere, because then maybe we'll say, oh, okay, like this country has universal health care, like why can't we have it?
Yeah. All right, so we'll get to some of the specific issues like universal health care in a minute, but let's maybe think about another question, since we are talking about, you know, the left outside the States and the left inside the States and the obvious differences, and also the fact that it could help us to kind of understand what's going on in the States by looking elsewhere. The question is, what about the Soviet Union? So were they left? Were they right? That really confuses me, because people are looking at communism, socialism, which...
But what at what time?
Maybe after World War II. So like...
You mean, okay.
Like 50s, let's say. So Stalin era.
You mean... well...
Like, are they left? Do we know? Do you know? I don't know. I mean, I think that the common conception is that they're...
That was the idea.
Right. Yeah. Left.
I mean, that was the idea.
Yeah.
Again, I don't think they executed their idea.
Okay. So in your opinion, do you think that the Soviet Union was not left? Or was it?
But again...
Because there's the intention of like, what's the... Because oftentimes when you talk about fascism and communism, socialism, or Marxism, or whatever, fascism versus Marxism, you know, there's the goal, right? The goal of Marxism is to have... let's call it equality, and the goal of fascism is to murder everybody around you and create a perfect society, something like that. So the goals are very different,
but that you could say the same thing about the United States. I mean, everybody has a ideal, and we really are, we have a great ideal, I think, but I'm not sure we're executing it so well.
Oh, okay, okay.
I mean, think of it as like a fraction, you know, like,
yeah.
How well are we actually executing?
But was the idea behind, okay, because you have, let's say, Soviet communism, and you have, Soviet communism, and which is, as I guess, as left as you can get if you do it right. But and then you have the United States. So it's very confusing because some people in the United States might be considered left. They might be considered right. Does that all break down when you talk about places like the Soviet Union, where did they have left and right there? Did they have that?
I mean, they had far greater repression. So
right.
I'm assuming, yes, they did. I don't think that any society is void of difference. I just think that it's a matter of whether or not people have the ability or if the law is on their side to speak up. But I mean, I think any system is far more diverse than you assume that it is. And I think that's perhaps a really important point in looking at any political system, is not just to look at the label. Again, it's like look behind the label and see what were the policies, how did people, I mean.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
You know, because I just think that's the problem I have with a lot of these labels, is like, are you left? Are you right? And what else? Like, what can you tell me? Like,
be more specific.
Yeah, be more specific. Like, what do you stand for? What are you against?
Mm. Because, okay, so we were just talking about the goals of fascism, Marxism, and then let's just call the third one the U.S., because it's like these three things. Because in the States, you would definitely be talking about a fascist, definitely be talking about a commie, a Marxist, or whatever. And then you would be talking about America, the great country that, you know, it's supposed to be, and still within this country you have sort of what I would have to call like elements of fascism and elements of Marxism. And I don't want to say right now that, you know, the left or the right in America is either representing Marxism or fascism, but the idea that there's some goals that each one of these systems has, and then they have the label.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the goals, and then you have the label, and then you have like what they're really doing, you know? So you can say, my goal is to create equality. I'm a Marxist. And so that's the goal, and then the label. But then you don't behave like a Marxist. You don't strive for equality. You don't try to, you know, level the playing field or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so this is like these three things. It's like the label, the goal, or the intention, and then the action, and then the reality.
Yeah, exactly.
And so how do we resolve that? Like, so that's the enigma of all of these. Like you just said, I mean, this is the problem that you said you have. I definitely have the same problems. Like, what? It's like when someone says, come to the left. No, come to the right. It's like, where are you pulling me, you know?
And it's like, I want to know my rights.
So, yeah, I mean, okay. Let's say maybe talk about a little bit of the stereotypes of the left. To me, the biggest stereotype of the left is three words. Bleeding heart liberal. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I mean, because it's used all the time. It's a talking point.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like that's the stereotype. Like, if I start talking about equality of any kind in the States, I guarantee I'll be labeled as a bleeding heart.
But the thing about it is that both sides are bleeding hearts. I mean, they're both doing the same thing. It's like football teams, it's like being football fans. That's what I look at. That's how I see the political spectrum right now. It's an arena. Wow. Like, it's a sport. It doesn't feel like it's a debate, but it's a sport.
Shit. Yeah, it's like very.
It's very
emotional.
Tribal.
Yeah. And people are just
emotional.
Like,
yeah.
People are following their like their tribe or their. Yeah, that's crazy. Their team.
Yeah, their team.
That's craziness. That, okay, I mean, I accept that for sure.
And I think just the term bleeding heart, liberal, it almost sounds like a team.
Like the bleeding heart liberals are up exactly. against the bleeding heart conservatives or whatever. All right, so I think we've quite...
The fiscal conservatives, as they like to call themselves, even though there's nothing wrong with being
that's,
fiscal.
We can get
no,
to that.
I know that.
We
I
can
know
get
that,
to that because actually
I
that's...
I just think it's a... I think it's a cop-out. That's my point.
Definitely.
But it's like a team. I mean, we use the same labels over and over again to the point that it begins to sound like you're watching a baseball game or a football game.
So, I like the metaphor, the analogy, which is also a metaphor, I guess. We're dropping a lot of words here, man, like conservatives... Fiscal conservatives, liberals, bleeding heart liberals. I think that the left in the state, in the United States, American leftism. Mm-hmm. Can we somehow attach, like you said earlier, some specific issues to that? Like, what are they for? What are they against? You know, and I know that there for sure is some kind of crossover between the left and the right. We can talk about that and. I don't know. I think that there is, but maybe you don't think that there is.
I guess maybe my question would be, can you give me a profile of a person that you're looking for?
Liberal. No, I'm sorry, of a leftist.
Yeah, because it's important. Because I feel like if you just say left, it doesn't mean anything. At least to me.
That's
so,
true.
I mean,
I agree.
I would be like, where do they live? Like, yes. It's like, I need to know a geographic location.
Okay.
Because I do think that they differ.
Without a doubt. So the left, I think we can probably do the entire episode just trying to find the profile or find these multiple profiles because there are multiple profiles. Obviously, these are broken down by race, gender, like you said, location,
education,
income,
social class,
all that stuff. So these are, let's
perhaps
call
religion.
Them. Ah, for sure. Let's call these
demographics.
Yeah. Let's just say demographics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like attributes. And stuff
yeah.
Like
demographic that. Attributes. Let's call them. I like that. So the left. Yeah, I mean, I'm a white person. So I always think of, technically, I am, you look at me, I'm a white person. So I would say that like the first thing that pops into my head is like, you know, a white hippie kind of, yeah, long hair. But maybe am I too old? Yes, probably I'm too old. I'm not going to ask. Let's not get into that. Forget I asked. But the point is like
backtrack.
That would be yeah exactly the profile that I always think of is of the left. I guess you can think of like why not? Let's say Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, even
so
guys
East
like
Coast.
Chuck Schumer. Oh shit!
That's what
man,
I'm
that's
saying.
True.
That's why
yeah,
my
okay.
geographic location. It's
so in California, it's totally different.
No, oh, I mean,
I think I think,
but I don't. Okay, I think that for people's idea of what. I think it's urban areas. I'm not saying that like Vermont is, but well, it's East Coast, West Coast. It's the coastal cities.
It's also some, I was looking at these election results maps and it's like in Texas, like the borderlands near the edge of Mexico, mm-hmm. you know, the border with
yeah,
Mexico.
Yeah.
It's like all like the House of Representatives is all, they're all, in that area, they're all Democrats, or mostly like the large, like
yeah,
even like
urban.
Houston. Yeah,
but Houston is a diverse city. It's like
I didn't know that.
There's
I
like
think
a
of Texas
huge African population in like Nigeria, like West African population in Houston. So it makes sense that Houston actually won some seats there. I mean, that Democrats
Houston,
won
we
seats.
Don't have a problem.
We don't have a problem.
Not anymore.
Not that Houston won
well,
seats.
Well, maybe
but
we
like
do.
Democrats won seats there.
Yeah.
But
and all those big cities in
Texas.
Yeah,
I think it's an urban-rural divide.
Okay.
I think that's basically what
the country and the city.
Left and right is. If you have to say, if I had to bring it down into one sentence, I would say it's an urban-rural divide.
Oh, wow. That's brave.
It's very brave. I'm going there.
You're going there. All right. So, yeah, urban rural. I mean, yeah. I mean, but then you have, like, states
but
like
Michigan. Suburbs include... I'm including suburbs. I'm including suburbs into the urban areas.
Okay, so then I guess also then these high population
centers...
I mean,
centers, they're more... They do flip. I mean, they do swing. But, like, in this last election, they swung back to the Democrats. Mm.
And I guess these high population centers kind of affect, like, let's say, a sort of red state that might have a Democratic
like Pennsylvania
governor.
Like, I mean, Pennsylvania is a good example of, like, a conservative state that has urban, has, like, two big urban cities. But
is the governor of Pennsylvania a Democrat?
I don't know who won. I don't even know if they had an election, if there was a gubernatorial
I think they didn't.
Election.
I think they didn't. They
but
did not.
I... It's check. A swing state.
Check that out. Let me check that out. Yes, it's a swing state.
And
Philly is that? That's
I mean,
definitely
Philly is the
Democratic,
urban,
right?
Is the Democratic center of Pennsylvania. Also, the most populated place in the state. So, I think that Democrats expect to get votes in the city. I think in 2016. The suburbs voted for Trump, and I think in this last election, the suburbs swung back to the Democrats in the Pennsylvania.
All right, and I think the further west you go in Pennsylvania also...
The
like,
more conservative
yeah.
it is.
So
I mean,
like,
then there's...
It's like Pittsburgh versus Philly.
Right. And I still think that the city of Pittsburgh is still a Democratic center, but I think the suburbs are not so much...
Yeah, I'm just looking.
I'm not
on
sure. Again, I don't.
I'm just looking on CNN to see the results, and we can get back to that in a minute. But yeah, so this profile, cities versus, so it's the city, classic city versus a country. It's like I studied that in literature, you know.
The
it's
town
like,
and country mouse.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a good story. So, but that okay. So that's a location. Let's
but
agree.
I think
let's agree on that. That's a
way
location.
To
yeah.
At least figure out where people. I mean, look at those maps they show on CNN with post the election, and there was a. It's not a wave. I mean, it's never a wave, or it's a red map.
It's a red map.
It's a
for
red
sure.
map with dots, with like little
blue
like circles. Yeah. And then you see where they are, and they're usually metropolitan areas.
We should probably mention, for anyone who doesn't know, I think most people know this, that red is Republican, blue is Democrat, and I'm gonna say it. Most people would say that Republicans are on the right. I think even they would say it, and Democrats are on the left.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, if we're going to, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to try to put this as kind of, like, put as many
I would say they're left to
pins
the
in it as possible.
The Republicans. That's what I would say.
Say again?
They're left of the Republicans. Because
yes.
I don't call the Democrats left.
But that's looking at outside.
No, I'm talking about as an American.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. So
I'm just saying that I don't ever label Democrats as left, leftist.
Really?
Yeah.
Because
you
know,
kidding me?
I mean, but you know for sure that that's like the way that they're categorized.
Yeah, that's my
your
point.
Problem.
It's
okay.
they're left of
the Republicans.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And but that's again, if you're always fighting against this party that's to the right of you, they're dragging the Democratic Party to the right. That's what I think people don't realize is that the party is just moving towards, they're just moving towards the Republicans, you know, chanting like stop this, the GOP,
yeah.
But they're moving in that direction.
Huh.
I mean, if you see it on like MSNBC, for example, they still cheer war. Like they cheer when there's like a bomb. I mean, they're still pro-war.
Yeah.
So how can we really call this party?
Okay. I'm
it's just
I'm
difficult
with
for
you.
Me to call them left. I
I'm
just
with
say they're
that.
More left.
Okay.
To the left.
Okay. I think then we've got something here that we can package into a little quaint, convenient little phrase. The left So the Democrats are left of the Republicans, yes. But there is, and they're considered to be the left.
Yes.
In America.
Falsely.
Falsely. To be clear, falsely. But there is, and I should say not but, and there is yet another left, which for you, and I think I agree if this is what
that
you're saying.
That doesn't really have a platform.
But, right. But it is there.
Yeah, it's there.
Okay. So would it be, to say it nice and sweet, would it be right to say that there's, now work with me on this one. bear with me as well.
I'm listening.
There's two lefts. There's the labeled left and then the actual left. And the labeled left would, let's say, be the Democrats. And then the actual left is this sort of like small, not necessarily loud, but like getting louder.
Well, I call them the progressive. Them the progressives. Today I'd okay. call them that.
I was going to ask about that because you did mention. Now, I'm not an expert in political science, but I do know what a progressive is. But you mentioned it before, so I was going to come back to that. So there's the left in the Democrats, and then there's the left, which is the progressives, right? And so I think that's actually pretty good way of kind of putting it.
I mean, and you see this now. I mean, you see that there's like, I don't want to say infighting because, again, I think it's,
infighting
within the Democratic Party because again, if we only have two established parties, you have a lot of progressives that are still within the Democratic Party.
But is that because of opportunity? Because that's they because have we the don't only
because
platform.
There's no choice.
Yeah, there's no choice. Yeah,
there's no choice. It's also I mean, look at Bernie Sanders for example. He ran as a Democrat. Although he was an independent senator, because he knew there would be
a
no
purple,
way.
Purple, by the way, a purple. I mean, some I think they have a different color, but it's purple on like, I think CNN is purple.
There would be no way for him to even have a chance in a general election if he were to run, or if he ran as an independent, because like a place like New York State, for example, they have closed primaries, which means that. If you have to be a registered member of the party in order to vote in the primary. So
how does that work for independents? Like if there's an independent party, they don't have primaries.
There's an independent candidate and that's the option you have. So, and honestly, the primaries are more important than the general election because that's where you really get to say
which way the party goes.
Yes, way the party goes. Yeah. And so New York State, I mean, I'm saying this from experience, being a New Yorker, it's a corrupt system. And it's closed. Some states are better than others that have opened it, like have open primaries so you can have same-day registration, so you can just go to a polling place and register and vote that same day. Mm. You can't do that in New York State. Mm. And that's done on purpose.
Yeah.
That helps the Democratic Party.
That helps the Democratic Party.
Yes, because if New York State had an open primary, you would see different numbers.
You mean you would see more independents, or
you would see more independents voting for? Like, I mean, I think you would have seen a difference in the 2016 elections. So it helps. I mean, I'm saying in New York State. Or in New York City, it helps. I mean, I'd say the state as well, but in New York State, it helps Democrats. Mm-hmm. I'd say it helps the Republicans in other states. But I mean, New York is a Democratic state.
Ah, okay. You're saying,
but
it,
I'm
yeah,
saying
I get
closed
saying.
Primaries help the established parties.
The established party, yeah. That's it was clicking just as you said that.
So
I get that.
That's why you have infighting. Mm. I mean, you saw it in the election. I mean.
In the
2016, I have to not say election anymore. We just had one.
Yeah. And that was interesting election. We can talk more about that in a little bit. I don't know. I think I'm satisfied with what we've come up with here.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the election.
No, Jesus.
I was like,
Jeez. I mean, actually, in some way, I am satisfied with that as well, because there was almost no way out. I actually thought that they were going to lose everything. I'm not a Democrat. you know, but I voted for third parties that were basically
working the family same party.
Exactly. I basically vote for the
only other option we have.
It's yeah. You know, all the names that you know from the Democratic Party, those are the people I voted for mostly. But I didn't vote for them in Democrat.
But do you see what I mean? Know. Like as a New Yorker,
I really wanted Cynthia Nixon.
Yes, but I couldn't pissed. Vote. But I couldn't vote for that. I mean, you couldn't vote in that election either.
Not in the primary, no.
No, because you're not allowed to vote for it as a.
But I did vote for her in. I didn't vote for Cuomo. I did not vote for Cuomo.
But I'm talking about in the primary. You couldn't vote.
I just
in
have
there.
To say that. Want to say I, that's the only one that I didn't actually vote for this for the Democratic candidate.
Amazon Cuomo. That's his new. That's what he called himself. That was Amazon. So lame. Amazon Cuomo.
Such. what would you call him for saying that? He's like a.
He's just a tool, a rat. He's a rat.
Ugh. I mean, it's too many Cuomos, man. Just too many Cuomos. Mario, Andrew.
Andrew.
His son, basically. Yeah, it's his son.
Yeah, it's his son.
Yeah, I don't like that.
But it's nepotism. I mean, that's how the American the system works. You have Bush.
Bush.
I mean, I
Bush,
think,
Bush, Bush.
But I think that was another issue. I mean, again, that I'm not going to even. I'm never comparing Trump and Clinton as candidates. But I think one thing that no one talked about.
You mean Hillary Clinton?
Yeah, I
don't know why
think,
I thought you were going to say.
No, but I mean, Bill nobody Clinton, wanted to see the same name again. I think that was like a bad mistake, a bad error.
I think that. Well, I don't think we should get into this.
I'm just saying
this
that.
This is not what this show is about.
I know, but
I can totally. I almost jumped into that rabbit hole.
Don't go there. Yeah. It's not worth it.
No, it would be. I think it would be worth it with you because we have this like you know whole setup where we're really defining things, and I think breaking off into some kind of opinion is okay. But I just want the listeners and you know anybody who's downloading or whatever to
it's a
to
safe
know.
Space.
I don't like that term. But yeah, I guess it's a safe space. Like, it's not a safe space for Nazis and shit like that. But it's for sure. It's like supposed to be about like sort of educational.
Right,
and honestly, this is like mostly for my education. No, I think that this type of conversation that we're having is good for people to hear that you can actually have conversations like this and also to be a part of it. And so, yeah, basically. Going back to what I said, I was satisfied about what we've come up with here and also the election a little bit. House of Representatives back to blue, but anyway.
I can go on. That's a whole
Let's just acknowledge it, say that we both are relatively...
We're relatively... I wouldn't say happy. I'm just... It happened, and it could be worse. Mm-hmm. It could be far worse.
Could be far right, far worse. You're right.
Freudian slip.
So, yeah, but I do think I'm sort of satisfied with what we've come up with. Like, we have the city versus the country. So the urban centers are more left, let's say, you know, in this like you know, American sense of the left. And then what else did we say? Oh, actually, we didn't get to like gender, race, or anything like that.
Well, we can talk about that.
Yeah. But then there's also the other left, which is the independents. So I like that. We could talk about race.
We could talk about race. Let's talk about race, baby.
Let's talk about you and me. This is a sensitive subject. I'm quite obsessed with it.
I'm black, by the way.
She's black.
Just so you know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm white. She's black. You know, these are realities. And it does matter that, you know, the person who's speaking about it, you know,
I think it's
mentions
important
that,
to have
I think.
Some
because,
idea.
You know, if I started saying some certain things like, no, okay, let's, before I even start qualifying all that shit, like there's black people on the right.
Yes.
I tried to understand this, you know, idea of being a black person or gay. Sexuality is another.
I mean, there's conservative gays.
There's
the Republican
black
gays.
Conservative gays.
Yes.
Who are women.
Yes.
It's insane.
I know.
I don't. I'm just like. No. I am. And maybe. And, you know, I've listened and followed a lot of, you know, black conservatives, female men, women, and not necessarily gays, but for sure men and women.
Oh, but there's a lot of conservative gays.
Yeah, and but my point is, like, I've followed them and I've listened to them and I've read their posts and read their articles, and I still think that they're missing something. And, you know, they are, a lot of the time, black conservatives will say that someone like me would, you know, a white person, would, is
my person.
A white person, is basically, can't really understand that they can be conservative, and therefore, you know, that's like, that's my racism.
I don't,
you know,
think that black people cannot be conservative. That is not,
well, that's true. That's obvious. I mean, they are. There are many. I mean, like,
but I'm talking about this particular administration. I think it's very different than than, let's say. I think it's very different. I think the rhetoric has been. Bill Clinton had a lot of. But the rhetoric. The thing about Bill, it's, first of all, it's a different time. It's not. I don't think it's. I'm not an apologist. I don't like Bill Clinton.
Okay.
I'm not an apologist for Bill Clinton. So you can.
I just erased that. I wrote that down. She's an apologist.
But I think it's too easy to take your revisionist history, like, to and then, like, put it onto America in like 1995. So, like, everyone is coming back and we're having, like, this, like, whole big discussion about Bill Clinton, and, like, today. Which is important, and he needs to hear it, and he's not hearing it.
Well, he's old. I mean, let him just
die, I guess, hear it. But it's one thing to talk about it or, like, to say it to him, but as a society, we are different people. So that's what I mean. Like, I just think that, like, the whole predatory, you know, comment that, like, but the thing is,
I mean, he was a predator.
But we were living in a different time. There was no social media. People didn't have access to the same information. That was not a story. That was not a story that was in the New York Times. Like,
Mona Lewinsky, are you talking about?
No, I'm talking about, like, when, I mean, I don't know if this was like, what I'm talking about is with Hillary Clinton during the 2016 campaign. She was, I think it was a Black Lives Matter activist that came up to her and was like, what about this comment about...
the super predators.
My whole point about that.
I thought you were talking about Bill Clinton being a sexual predator, because there was a comment about that.
Yeah, that's another issue.
Something recent.
There's a lot of shit.
Let's rewind a little bit, because I totally misunderstood that. Yeah, the super predator thing. Yeah, right. Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton were, like, on that.
Yes, I agree, but I'm saying that
they were wrong back then.
They were wrong. I'm just saying that that was not public knowledge. Like, that wasn't something that was, like, in our face.
Actually, I didn't even know what that was until recently. Right. Like, so I had that, no
that's
clue.
My point.
This, yeah.
I'm
yeah,
just
exactly.
saying that, like, it's not fair to then throw stones at people.
Well, we don't have to throw stones at.
No, but I mean, like, in the metaphoric sense. In 2018, about what they did in 2000. And I mean, not 2000, but in, like, 1995 or six, when that was, we were living in a different time.
100%. I mean, I think that Hillary Clinton is a different.
I'm talking about black conservatives. That's what I'm saying in the context of black conservatives. The whole point was.
But do black conservatives disagree with that? With the whole super predator thing?
I honestly have no idea.
Maybe I'm totally, like, you know, blind to this, but I feel like they would agree about all the fucking stereotypes about black people,
I don't think so. I think that people vote in their interest, and I know that, like, that sounds weird to say as a black person. They either vote in their. I don't think people vote. Okay, let me. I just lied. People don't vote. People sometimes vote in their interest, because self-interest is a terrible theory. I mean, people do, but not everyone. It doesn't explain everything. On the flip side, people vote on, like, what they want to be. Like, what they want to project. So, and yes. That's not just about black or white. I mean, that's just about being race. It has to do, I'm not talking about, not black being white. I'm talking about white people vote for, poor white people vote for rich white people, because that's the goal, is to be rich. I mean, that's part of Trump's so-called charm, if you ask me.
Yeah.
charm in the sense of how he's been able to captivate people. You can't take that away from the debate or like discussion on Trump and why he's popular. People see themselves in him. People want, yes. They aspire to be him.
Yes.
And that's partly because of wealth and fame.
He also says the kind of fucked up shit that they want to say.
Yes, there's that. But people also vote towards something.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's whether you're voting for hope. It's like Obama's slogan was hope.
Or
change. I don't know. Hope, change. But Trump also offered hope in their minds.
Yeah.
Hope.
The hope and change that Obama was offering was also in people's minds, if you ask me.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. People vote for aspirations.
Yeah, exactly. So I voted for him.
But my point is, people, you can't take away from the fact that people do vote for what they want to see. Like, you know, it's like what they want to see in the future.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So maybe what they want to see in the future is, for me, a shitty future. You know, but that's still what they want to see in the future.
Well, this is definitely off track, I think. But
yes.
We were, before we got to that, which I definitely see what you're saying. Obviously, you know, people vote.
It has to do with just
they either vote for their interests or they vote for their identity in some way. And I don't want to throw this word around yet. Well, I think one day we will get to the episode where we talk about identity politics.
One day.
But that's going to be a few episodes away from here.
We're talking about identity politics anyway. We're not just talking about we're not talking about it directly, but we're talking about it.
That's true. So, but, you know, it's such.
Get your feet warm.
I'm just getting a toe. Yeah. It's just a toe.
Just a toe.
I can't.
A toenail.
A toenail. actually, yeah.
I have issues with identity politics. I mean, I have. It's like I have a mixed relationship with identity politics.
Yeah. So my.
I think it's important. Problem, yeah. But for sure. At the same time, I think it's not.
But my problem with talking about. Mm-hmm. Identity politics per se, you know, using that term, is that I have to ask, what is it? And I just don't think we have time for that. Episodes. Like, yeah, we can
we'll
do five episodes.
We'll
identity politics number one, identity politics number two. It goes all the way up to five.
No, it's
but fine. I think that we okay, so let's so we established that
we
blacks,
didn't establish
whites, we established a couple things. Okay. Well, okay, we didn't like academically establish anything. I mean, you're an academic way more than I am, but you know, this is more for like lay people, you know. People want to get laid. I don't know. you know, yeah, no, this is like we're trying to like get this down in a way that is like as simple as it can be.
Yeah, I know.
You know, try to simplify a complex topic is never easy, you know, trying to do that.
No.
And so I think that what we've done to this point, and actually, honestly, this is really just a continuation of the same subject matter of the spectrum number two. With Evgeny, we talked about the left, and he made the great point of like, you know, most people consider me to be like conservative or whatever he said. And
really?
But I mean, in general terms, because he's a
see again.
No, because it was like when it comes to freedom, he's a conservative. You know, when it comes to individual liberty, he's a conservative. But then when it comes to every other thing that matters, he's basically a liberal or a leftist, you know? And I don't think anyway that the right or conservatives, which we haven't even gotten to the difference between those two, the right have a monopoly. And I think actually you said this on the spectrum number two, is that they don't have a monopoly on freedom, but they try to try to have that monopoly, but they don't, because freedom, everybody wants freedom.
Yeah.
Let's not be stupid. You know, it's like everybody wants freedom. If you believe that the left doesn't want freedom, then you're just comparing them to fucking like Stalin.
But
shit,
the
you know?
Only thing is that I think that the right actually dictates the discourse. That's the thing. Like, I think that they actually set the tone. I think, and then the Democrats like
respond. So they're being reactive.
Yeah, they're just reactive. And I
can see that.
That doesn't seem, I mean, that doesn't seem to have changed so much.
Mm.
I mean, let's see what happens now.
Well,
but I mean, thus far, I think the Democratic Party has just been reactionary.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying that they're moving towards the right, because they're just if you react to
that sounds so scary.
But that's what's happening. Yeah. That's what has happened.
Yeah. All right. I think that we have covered some good stuff here, especially in identifying the left. I wrote down a bunch of points to get to, but I knew that we weren't going to get to them because.
My big mouth.
No, Jesus Christ.
That's fine.
No, that's No, it's, you know, these are very, you know, everything is all tied in together, and you got to start somewhere. And I think that we are focusing on the left because it's the first word in the left right spectrum.
We can talk
that's
about
the reason.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think this deserves another episode to keep going with this exact trajectory. I do think, honestly, that we covered. Let's not say establish anything, but we covered something. So we have the left as it exists and also doesn't exist in the United States. It's like a schism between the so-called left and the actual left, which is very small and it's independent. And then you have the fact that the Democratic Party, which is the so-called left, moving towards the right because of the reactionary politics, and how the center itself is moving towards the right. I mean, it's all, that's wild, man.
Can I just add one more? I mean, of course, just say it so that it's on record.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should do the same thing for the right, because I think that there is a right. And then there are people who just identify as being right. Like, I think there's different aspects of, you know, being of like identifying yourself as being on the right.
Yeah.
And, but so somehow, I think that's something that.
What did you say? You said that you have the people who are on the right. I mean, actually on the right.
Yeah, who really are far right, like who are like on the right. What I mean is, I mean, I could say that's just far right. But I don't want to say far right. Let me not do that, because I think this has.
I mean, there is like a far right.
Yes, there is.
But it's also sort of a minority.
But does it matter?
Or maybe not.
Because I think that I don't know who I don't know who the majority is in the Democratic Party either. Like, I don't know.
I mean, to me, the far right are like Nazis and shit. Even in the States, you have Nazis, KKK, those are the far right.
You mean like the Richard Spencers of the world or
exactly.
something like that?
I was just thinking that name. I don't want to give him any air, you know. But yeah.
I'm not so sure that we spend enough time talking about the diversity of the right. I think the media talks a lot about the diversity of the left and the infighting, and you see, because it's visible. I mean, it's there, and you see it even in with the candidates. But essentially, the Tea Party was that. The Tea Party was an offshoot. And today, in my mind, the Tea Party is in the White House. Like,
yeah, I can.
And the whole party and its agenda has moved to the Tea Party.
Yeah.
Whether or not everybody that identifies as being Republican is part of agrees with the Tea Party is another thing. I don't think that they do, but I think that their agenda and their initiatives are in the White House.
Yeah, I think that we can do that.
Yeah,
for sure the next episode.
Yeah, I just wanted to say it because otherwise I would forget.
No, you're absolutely right, and I think you're not absolutely right, but you're absolutely correct.
Well,
we have to use the word correct.
I made a point.
Yeah, you made a point about the right. You're right about the right, and we should talk about them. And I like the fact that you said that the Tea Party is basically in the White House now. I like to say that with Trump, the Tea Bag Party is in the White House.
The Tea Bag Party is in the White House.
So
yeah,
I think this has been actually, you know, a really good continuation of our discussion, and in a very beautiful area of the world, the corner, a dark corner of the universe here in Horse Bar.
With nice music.
Yeah. I don't know if they can hear it, the audience, but the music here is usually good. Like last time we were here,
yes,
and they were
you
playing.
Played a song that I loved as a child.
Tonight,
yes,
Kai.
I wanted to.
She's
actually
talking about
stop.
Kai, the bartender.
And like dance because I was so.
Oh,
excited.
You should have said something. We could
That's
have taken
okay.
a break.
I did. I also don't know if you saw me. I was tapping.
I also wanted to say that we didn't take a break. That we were like super involved. Like that flew by. Usually we're taking like at least two breaks.
Yeah.
And this is a great atmosphere. Hopefully we'll be back here maybe Mondays at Horse Bar. Dennis, who was a guest on the show, the artist series, kindly said basically that we can come anytime we want. And yeah, I'm looking to take him up on that offer.
Sounds nice.
Yeah. Did you meet Dennis?
No, not yet.
Yeah, you'll meet him because this is his bar.
But you did tell me about him.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, and do we have any parting comments about this?
No, just enjoy the rest of your week and
happy Monday.
Have you back?
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So Voices from the Dark, episode number 27, Spectrum number 3. It's been me and Neo.
And, so long.
Enjoy the rest of your week. Peace out.